You have filed petition language, I understand, with the State Board of Canvassers to repeal the emergency financial manager law.
Yes, we have. We'll be filing our petitions. We'll be actually sending our electronic copy of our petitions tomorrow to the Board of Canvassers for their approval. We've consulted heavily with legal analysts and with the Bureau of Elections, and we feel we have a great petition ready for the state to dive into. And we feel very confident that we'll have our signatures ready in a record number of time.
And what exactly does the language say? Is it simply to repeal the whole thing?
Yes. The referendum process in the state, you know, it's pretty much an up or down thing. And we're putting the legislation on our petition in its entirety, Public Act 4, against the broad powers that the Public Act gives. We're not necessarily fighting emergency managers, but it's the point that you can't give total control to one person, especially in cities like Detroit and Benton Harbor, Pontiac and Grand Rapids, and also as far north as Traverse City. Thousands of people vote every 2 or 4 years for school board members, city council members, and their mayors. So to come in one fell swoop and just write all that away is anti-democratic. And additionally, we can't. It seems that our current legislature wants to just come in and forget the hard work that a lot of people who love the state of Michigan have been doing to revitalize the cities over the last 4 years. Michigan Ford is one of those organizations. We've been fighting for regional transit. We've been fighting to decrease our rider rates in the city of Detroit. What will happen if we have an emergency manager in the city of Detroit? We know our water department will be the first thing to be privatized, and we can't have that. When you privatize city services, citizens lose, residents lose. They lose control of their water rates. They lose input with their local boards, and definitely they lose control of their pocketbooks to big business and private interests.
I think it's an important distinction you made that it's not against emergency financial managers in particular. It's against the broad powers that they can then put forward.
Yes. Well, let's just be clear. The difference between Public Act 4 of 2011 and Public Act 72 of, I believe, 1999, you pretty much had a delineation of powers that was brought up the question with Robert Bob down here in the city of Detroit. We all know about the fight over academics in our Detroit school district. Well, Public Act 4 took away that whole conversation, and it says that emergency managers can control academic curriculum and school boards. Now, but once again, Public Act 4 does not require that emergency managers have any training or understanding of educational and academic programs or curriculum. So what happens? You see emergency managers that suggest 60 classrooms and 60 students. Once again, who can learn in a classroom with 60 students? I have a hard time managing a meeting of 15 adults. So let's just imagine 60 students in a class for young people eager to learn. However, they can't get the attention that they need. And also, what's something that's very dangerous about the new powers in Public Act 4 are the extensions of the triggers that may call a local government under review. Now, pretty much anybody who has a question about their local pension board or a city pension can file a request for a review to the state treasurer, unfounded. And also, they don't have to really disclose whether they live in the city or not. They could be a resident of the state of Michigan and find a question with the city of Detroit's pension and not live in the city and ask for a review. That will cause the entire city of Detroit to be in review for receivership. And that's just not democratic, and that's not an open process.
And that would be a part of all of your repeal campaign.
Absolutely. We want to get rid of Public Act 4 in its entirety.
Now there are those who say, and I've heard it on this show before too, Brandon, that there wouldn't be a need for a law empowering these state-appointed outsiders, if you will, to make these choices for municipalities and school districts if the people initially hired to make those choices did the jobs properly.
Yes, and you know, one person can't make decisions for an entire city. That's a problem. To give one person total authority over a decision-making process is just not the democratic way. We can't be impatient with democracy when we want to turn our cities and our school districts around. we have to work in collaboration so to extend power just to end the argument and to end the conversation, which what it does is once again, I have to continue to stress this, is anti-democratic. We ask for patience. Our government asks for patience for us in resolving the deficit, but they go to increase taxes on the youth, the future, and seniors. Now, how long am I asked to be patient when my taxes increase in my home? I'm a small business owner. How much longer am I going to be asked to pay through the nose from my government and not get anything back from it? So, you know, that's my response to that, is the fact that I'd rather be patient with the 11 people that I've elected in my district-based leadership than anybody that's been imported, not from my community, not from my own decision-making, but for me to decide things for me. I think I pay enough taxes and I do enough in my community to help and revitalize my community myself. I don't need any help.
Do you see any value in these EFMs, emergency financial managers, coming in early on to try to help the process, which is what we are told the part of the intention is?
I would see more value in the state treasurer's office deploying more collaborative measures to help cities and school districts avoid financial mismanagement. One thing that Public Act 4 should have done, and as it was being wrangled and rammed through our state legislature, it could have actually increased the state treasurer's budget to increase their office capacity, to hire more full-time employees to work on behalf of the state to help local municipalities. But that didn't happen. What we saw was an expansion of the powers for the state treasurer to approve pretty much a blank check to hire privatized lobbyists, former legislators, and buddies of the system to come in and manage cities. So my response to that definitely would be, you know, to keep cities and local governments out of financial crisis. We could have gotten started this January creating jobs bills and encouraging economic growth in our communities. And secondly, we could have given the treasurer more oversight and not necessarily authority and how to keep cities out of emergency management.
What is your take on Joe Harris in Benton Harbor and what's happening there? I was going to say I can guess your reaction, but I want you to tell me.
Well, you know what? It's to be expected. People with broad powers have the power to do anything. So, you know, to see Joe Harris building, you know, multi-million dollar development projects over a public park to begin to privatize more public services. I mean, it's the same thing that's going on right now here in Pontiac. Mr. Stampler and his predecessor, his emergency manager before then in 2009, sold the Silverdome for $543,000, a project that cost $55 million to build. So, you know, the emergency managers now, what they're doing is pretty much, you know, nothing can shock me because they have overarching and very broad powers, you know. But I don't want to wait long enough to see what all they will do.
We
don't have time for that.
Speaking of time, what is your timeline on once you've submitted the language to the Board of Canvassers?
Our timeline, we want to submit enough valid signatures by November, so we can definitely start to move into the education process within our community. You know, we definitely, knowing how many volunteers that are already signing up, seeing how many community organizations that email us daily, almost hourly, pledging support for our efforts, I think that we may be well ahead of the schedule, and we may even have to. We may be submitting thousands of signatures to the Board of Canvassers before the end of the summer.
Well, and if your petition drive is successful, that would suspend suspend the emergency manager law until it's voted on at the next election.
Absolutely, it would.
Well, Brandon, I appreciate your perspective so much, and I enjoyed talking with you, and I'm sure we'll talk in the future as the process of gathering signatures continues.
Absolutely. Well, Cheryl, thank you for having me on, and I look forward to talking to you over this process.
Very good. Thank you so much, Brandon.
All right, now have a great day.
You too. Brandon Jessup, who is chairman and CEO of a group called Michigan Forward. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.